A church without discipleship is just a gathering. Hello and welcome to the Disciple Making in Community podcast with Ken Braddy, where we believe that discipleship happens best within the context of a smaller group. The podcast is an ongoing conversation with church leaders and ministry experts where we focus on important disciple-making issues that are taking place in ongoing Bible study groups. I am your host, Ken Braddy. I am Lifeway's Director of Sunday School. I'm also a group leader at my church. I'm an author, a blogger. You can follow me at Ken Braddy. It's braddy.com, where I regularly release posts that are related to all aspects of group ministry. I've been a discipleship pastor in three churches and a 30-year champion of disciple-making in ongoing Bible study groups in the local church. So to our audience, thank you for listening to the Disciple Making in Community podcast. This podcast is released in seasons with 7 episodes per season. So think something like Netflix. We focus on one topic for 7 episodes, but we approach that topic from different angles and with different guests on each podcast episode, and they share their wisdom and their insights with us. Now, seasons 1, 2, and 3 are currently available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, and just about anywhere you can sign up for a podcast. Season 1 focused on the importance of enlisting and onboarding new group leaders. Season 2 focused on the importance of starting new groups. And season 3, which is this current season, we're focusing on training in the church, training your group leaders. So today's episode is episode 3 of season 3, and our topic today is how to develop a training plan for your church. And I like to live by the philosophy that none of us is as smart as all of us. And so I've invited guests to be with me on every episode, and we get to hear what they have to say about these important topics. And on this episode, how to develop a training strategy for your church's group leaders. My first guest today is Brian Fillingham. Brian holds an undergraduate degree in business and a Master of Divinity with a specialization in Christian education. He has served 3 churches over the course of 17 years of ministry and is currently serving Spring Valley Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina as their Minister of Discipleship. He takes his family camping as often as possible and recently made the worst financial decision of his life when he brought home 2 new dogs. Yeah, dogs aren't cheap, right, Brian? You're finding that out. The kids are happy, though, and Brian is married to Kelly, and they've got 2 children, Ellie and Edie Ann, who is 5 years old. Brian, you've been on the podcast before. You're a returning guest. Thanks for being back with us here on the Disciple Making in Community podcast.
I appreciate the invite, Ken.
You betcha. Can't hardly wait to get you here and see what you've got to say about this very important topic. Our second guest is Dr. Jeff Bowden, and he is the Associate Pastor of Education at Forest Hills Baptist Church right here in Nashville, not too far from where we're recording today in Brentwood, Tennessee. He's been there since November of 2014. Prior to coming to the church, he served churches in Florida, Texas, and North Carolina and Tennessee. And this year, Jeff is celebrating his 35th year in full-time ministry. That's great, Jeff. Congratulations on that milestone. That's really amazing. After graduating from Lenore High School, he received his Bachelor of Arts in Religious Education from Carson Newman College. That's here in Jefferson City, Tennessee. And that was in 1985. And then he earned his Master of Religious Education degree from Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth and went on to earn a Doctor of Ministry in Christian Education from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary in 2013. Jeff is currently, I didn't know this about you, Jeff, but you're currently the Vice Chairman of the Board of Directors for the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board, and you get to be chairman in 2024 in addition to your other full-time job responsibilities. You're a brute for punishment, but thanks for that extra level of service. Jeff and his wife, Terry, they've been married for 36 years. They've got two grown sons. Michael is one of those with a daughter-in-law, Taylor, who are she's a nurse. Lives in Memphis, and then Joshua, his other son, who works for Patagonia and lives in Montana. That's way out of the way, Jeff. I mean, you must love going out there to see him, because Montana is beautiful country.
And he sent me a picture, Ken, this last Thursday with their first snow in Montana.
Oh, no way. Wow.
So anyway, 7 degrees out there on Thursday. It was cold.
How much?
Seven.
7 degrees. Okay, don't lick any steel posts, right?
Exactly.
In 7 degrees, that'd be bad. Well, guys, thanks for being here. So glad that you're here for this topic. Let's just get going. Mm-hmm. And I've got a chart that I'm looking at, but I want us to, as we're moving into this episode, let's talk about how to develop the training plan that'll make a difference and move that needle, at the local church level. So to get us started, I want us to think about and share some information from a research project that was done by the state of Georgia. They examined 2,544 of their churches. So this is a big survey. And they asked a couple of questions. They were after, they wanted to know, how often does your church do training? What's the plan? And then they wanted to know, in a 4-year window of time, how did your church grow while you're doing that training? And the chart that I'm looking at here, audience can't see it, but I'm going to try to explain some of the big high-level takeaways here, because to me this is life-changing and ministry-changing kind of stuff. The chart actually reveals first that churches that have no training were declining in membership, and that's not the direction that we want to go. Every other church on the survey that had some level of training, some frequency of training, they were growing. The needle was moving, but those churches that had no training were actually in decline. Number two, that more training isn't necessarily the best way to go about it, because in the survey, quarterly and monthly training yielded somewhere between 13 and 14% growth in those churches, where weekly training was yielding around 6.5%. So quarterly and monthly were about twice as good in terms of growth. I think that that is because when you're training weekly, you're focusing on the Bible study lesson coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. When you're training quarterly or monthly, you're focusing on higher altitude issues like how to prepare my lesson, how to make a hospital visit. I mean, those foundational things that group leaders need to know how to do. And then number three, the last big takeaway, is that some training, no matter what it is always better than no training. And so with that backdrop in mind from that Georgia Baptist survey of 2,544 churches, let me kick this off with our first question, and that's just this. How do you decide on the frequency of training in the church? And what do you hear your friends, your colleagues do or are doing around your neck of the woods, or maybe even across the country, somebody that you've stayed in contact with over the years? What are you seeing and hearing? What frequency are you using where you are? What do you hear other churches doing? And do you have an opinion about what's right? So, Jeff, let me kick it to you first.
Well, almost 9 years ago when I came to Forest Hills, it was kind of already in the little DNA culture here that they had an annual Sunday school training event. And so we would do that the 1st of August as we're getting ready to kick off the kind of new Sunday school year there, our promotion Sunday. So I just kind of took that and I ran with it because it was already in the culture, and it's been a good thing. What our staff done and what we've done a little bit, we've kind of tipped our toe into the water, but we're getting ready to do it in January. We're kind of doing a mid-year kind of training. Kind of like, okay, we're into the year a few months, so here's a update and adjustment. And so we're getting ready to do that in January, January the 10th. and so forth. But one of the things that I wanted to include was I think it's really important to include different methods to do training.
Oh, okay, great. Unpack that some more. That's great. Talk about that.
And stuff. So we have the events, but also, like, I send out to the adult segment of our Sunday school, because that's where I'm more hands-on with. I send a weekly email on Monday morning. I just sent it just this morning. And so I'll do some communication with that, but I'll always include, like, hey, here's an article that's really good. And right now I'm going through the different aspects basically of what our group strategy is, and I'm highlighting one of those elements of our group strategy, and I'm including an article. So today the highlight was, does newcomers experience biblical hospitality? So I did that, and Ken, I went on your website and I found a good article on biblical hospitality. So I included that and highlighted, and I just said, hey, here's our aspect. Read this article. It'll take you 5 minutes.
And yeah,
so,
good.
So it's kind of an ongoing thing that, you know, that we're incorporating here.
I love that philosophy, Jeff, because I think that, well, I had a friend I served with who had this phrase. I'm sure he picked it up from somebody because nothing's ever original. But he was frequently fond of saying a steady drop wears out the rock. And it sounds like that's kind of become part of your philosophy there, is that steady drip, that steady drip, that steady drip, the article, the quote, that email, that training, and just you're not beating them over the head with it, but it's consistent, and over time, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Brian, what do you think? What do you think about frequency of training? What do you do there at Spring Valley? And as you talk with other education folks in your state, when you come together for national meetings and you're, you know, kind of reconnecting with people and this kind of a thing comes up, what are you seeing, hearing, and what do you think's the, you know, right philosophy?
Yeah, I think for me here, my personal experience, it was a process. Kind of similar with everybody that's watching and similar with Jeff. I stepped into a certain frequency of training here at Spring Valley, and that frequency was roughly once a month. And once a month, I kept trying to do that and realized that all of the history was there, the willingness to meet once a month, the productivity was not there on the once a month. So we transitioned to meeting quarterly. We kind of took a page, again, out of Jeff's book. We do other kinds of trainings to fill the gap. So we do video trainings, and I don't know, maybe y'all's folks read emails, but mine don't. So I do, generally, I do video emails to my teachers, and it's much, much better received. And then we've kind of coupled our training with a book study. Some sort of either, you know, breathing life into Sunday school or something of that nature that reintroduces those three primary purposes of Sunday school. And so we're able to not only read the book together, and that kind of binds us together, but discuss that and then dive into some of those topics a little bit deeper. But we do ours on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, quarterly is the one that I chose. When I came to Tennessee and started working with a friend of mine who was pastoring a church here, the church had never had any training. They were 16 years old, but had never had a regular cadence of training. And so I thought this through. I said, do I do it weekly? And I thought, there's no way that would work, because they use several different kinds of curriculum from Lifeway, and I couldn't focus on either, you know, any of them. So I said, no, that's not going to work. And I said, well, they've never had it. Could they come monthly? And Brian, I thought, yeah, that'd be like pushing the gas down too much. It'd be too much of an acceleration, 0 to 60 kind of a thing. So I landed on quarterly, and that seemed to work very nice for us. It gave us just enough of that drip, 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 without being overwhelming and taxing the people too much. And they tended to, you know, come out. One thing I never did, though, was the video training that you mentioned. But I think that's really wise. I just read a book. oh gosh, I'm blanking on the author, but he mentioned the different generations that are in our churches right now, and how, you know, the older adults, they still you know, have great respect for teachers and for authority figures and experts you would bring in for training and those things. But they all, he also cited how the younger adults in your ministries really like online training. They like their go-to is YouTube. I mean, 70, 80% of them are on YouTube weekly looking at training, either for their company or for something else. I mean, I can't tell you how many times even I have gone to YouTube because, you know, like my wife's door on her car, you know, wouldn't lock properly. And so I had to go and watch the short 3-minute video on how to reset the system, you know, but they prefer that kind of thing. So I think when it comes to training, different hooks in the water is, you know, probably a good way, because not everybody likes training done, you know, the old fashioned way where we come to the church, sit there and listen to somebody. So I think you guys are definitely on the right track. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to kind of dovetail on that, Ken, because some of our age group staff really utilize Ministry Grid.
Okay, so explain to the audience what Ministry Grid is.
So Ministry Grid, you can use it two different ways. So there is preset, already recorded video lessons of different types of different subjects that churches can use in their ministry setting. It's very inexpensive for a yearly, you know, subscription. It's a Lifeway product, but also it is to where you can record your own video and post those on there for workers to also use. So like our preschool person does a lot of videos and posts those to, basically orientate new volunteers of, here's the process of changing diapers, or how do you handle situations and so forth, to onboard workers. Are, you know, student ministry does their curriculum through Ministry Grid. So there's a lot of different avenues that are different angles that Ministry Grid can be used for that type training.
I love it. Thank you for that. And that's an unsolicited commercial endorsement plug for Lifeway. I didn't know Jeff was going to do that. But that is a delivery tool that Lifeway developed years ago. It's been enhanced and honed over the years. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, many churches are using that, the prefabbed curriculum training that's there, or the, you know, the ministry training that's in there, and then uploading their own training, you know, that they're filming, doing it on an iPhone, and uploading that short video, sending that out to their workers. So, yeah, people are getting very creative with that. And the more we go and learn how to use Ministry Grid even better in the future, we'll be pairing the training and the delivery of digital curriculum on the site even more so than we do now. And so, yeah, that's another great tool that's out there. But let's just say for the church that's out there that says, okay, I get it. I've been listening to the podcast. Intuitively, I know we need to do some training that makes sense. How might a church leader go about deciding on, you know, what topics they're even going to start addressing? Because I have found that in training sessions, when we talk about this, the one thing that keeps a pastor or a church leader from marching forward is they just don't know that first step. They don't know, well, what would I talk about with my group leaders if I got them together in the first place? So do you guys have any counsel or wisdom so that we don't get paralyzed here? But how would a church leader go about determining those topics that they might want to address, let's say, over the next year or year and a half?
Absolutely. So I've been here for about 5.5 years, and the trick is, right, when you come in, you, like you were saying earlier, Ken, you don't know how much training they've had or how the depth of training they've had. And so I go back to the basics of Sunday school, the reach, teach, and care. And I kind of structure, always have in my last several churches, I structure my my training around those three basics of Sunday school ministry. And then as I get the ball rolling, as I learn the organization, as I learn the teachers, as I learn our strengths and weaknesses as a church, I begin to hone in on those things as well. And so I would say, especially getting started, focus in on what those basics are. There's plenty of books written about that. There's plenty of training out there that's related to reaching people far from Christ, teaching the Word of God, and then closing the back door through the care ministry as well. And so that's really, and that's what I've, that kind of continues on in all of my training. We're focusing on some aspect of one of those three, one of those three topics.
Yeah, that's good. Jeff, what do you think?
So for us, we kind of start with what is our vision and mission at Forest Hills? And so we look at our vision. Our vision is to see Jesus Christ transform our community beyond through the gospel-centered lives of our people. And then the mission that makes that happen is our mission is to glorify God by making gospel-centered disciples who do four things: love, grow, serve, and go. So we want, what we've done is we've created our Sunday school group strategy that will undergird our mission statement and vision statement. And so I would just encourage, it's kind of like, what do you want to accomplish? Well, what is your mission and vision? Make sure that your Sunday school and groups are aligned with still pulling in the same direction to where you're making disciples. So we kind of revamped, and Ken, you kind of previewed this with me and stuff, because I used a little bit of your book there to help do this. But, you know, we just revamped our kind of Sunday school group strategy into three different buckets in which it undergirds and helps push our people and points them towards a disciple-making process of loving God's Word, connecting with others, and connecting with our community. Awesome. So it is one that undergirds our mission. So that would be my question. What's your mission? What's your vision? And how is your groups undergirding that?
Yeah. And you know, you said undergird four times now.
So oh, okay.
We should be ringing a bell every time we hear undergird. That's a great Baptist word. I heard it in every seminary class that I've ever taken. You know, you have to undergird the work of the church and the denomination. That was that last thing on every, you know, list of things you got to do. So you're right. It is undergirding. It's foundational and all that. So let's think about this, guys. So somebody sense that, yes, you know, training is important. And okay, they say, so we're going to align training maybe around our mission, mission statement or something like this, or the, you know, three or four tasks of Sunday school or group ministry that they have adopted. Let's think, this, the three of us here, we're going to see if we can do this in 60 seconds, okay? And I've got a point for us doing this. But if we were going to create, let's say, 12 topics and do training around these 12 topics, what 12 topics would we pick? So let's see if we can get 12 in a minute or so. And I'll start with, you know, how to teach the curriculum, okay? That'd be, I think, a good practical training session. So there's one, how to use my curriculum. What else would you guys say we ought to, you know, think about introducing to our group leaders? So we got 11 to go.
Yeah, I would look at what we're doing right now with one of our newest classes is how to organize the class for the work of ministry, so that it's
okay, good.
Helping the teacher realize that they can't carry that entire weight of that Sunday school class.
That's a good message, isn't it, Brian, that the teacher doesn't have to shoulder it all, him or herself. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good. So how to organize, how to teach the curriculum. I'd even say how to teach. You know, just there's different ways beyond, you know, I did a lesson or a session in Kansas City last weekend called Beyond Lecture and introduced the eight learning approaches to that audience. And so that could be a topic. That's at least three we've named so far. What else? Jeff, you got one?
How about how to develop apprentice leaders?
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect. Because without those, we're not going to start new groups. That is mission critical. So how to raise up that next generation leader in my group so either I go start another one or they take over mine, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I love it. How to raise up that apprentice leader, so needed. All right, something else. I got one. Because every group's got them. How to deal with the over-talker. Every group has that person that dominates. You know, they got to answer everything and they got a response for everything. So at some point, teaching a skill of or skills, how to deal with that. So you don't crush them, but you don't let them take over the group either.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Somebody else. Yeah.
So a little bit in the same vein, because I know different groups deal with this differently. but how do you deal with your prayer time? Mm-hmm. Okay, and you know, because it can be very dominating to where it's like if you've got an hour for your class meeting and 30 minutes is dealing with prayer, that's probably out of whack. And so how do you deal with that? And also, how do you include the praying for the lost in that kind of strategy?
Yeah, praying for the lost, how to manage my prayer time so it doesn't just, you know, and there's nothing wrong with prayer, but let's don't let it take over, because we also have to, you know, teach the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't assume that everybody has read the lesson, and, you know, some of them are just they're to hear it for the first time. So that's a great topic. How do I manage the time that I've got in my group? Here's one, how to show biblical hospitality. I think many groups are very friendly, but they're friendly to each other. And sometimes the guest comes in and they don't feel exactly welcomed and loved on. And so just reminding group leaders, here are some ways to help your group be more biblically hospitable, you know, to that outside, that newcomer, that guest. How to make a hospital visit, you know, how to visit the sick person. That's going to happen. And that can be very scary the first time you go to the hospital and you got somebody that's maybe, you know, on death's door, or they're having a very serious, you know, surgery. There's cancer. And what do you say at the bedside? What do you say when they're trying to roll that gurney? And you're like, oh, wait a second, I'm here to pray, because that's happened to me before. And now you're praying in the hallway with doctors and nurses wanting to get that person to the back. And you're like, yeah, but I'm going to pray. And so how to do that, because that happens from time to time. What else? Or is on your mind?
Yeah, I was kind of going along with what you and Jeff were saying, organizing the class, the actual class time. You know, that goes to the prayer piece, making sure. But one of our training pieces here has been helping our teachers understand that while the Bible study is probably going to be the majority of the class, the fellowship, the community time, the care ministry time, those are also very important and need to be structured into the class as well. So
Brian, would we call that something like, you know, finding the balance, and, you know, and you could organize the training around that. Sharing the gospel, did we mention that? You know, a simple gospel plan, you know, for sharing the truth. Five kinds of sheep you have to care for, you know, from that regular attender to the guest to the prospect to the associate member. You know, there's all kinds of people that a group has to care for. There's a whole nother training that could be done there. So with that, we're probably sitting at 11 or 12 topics. Here's why I want us to do that. This is what I find is really paralyzing to the pastor or a minister of education or a discipleship pastor. They say, yeah, I know we need to do training, but I don't know exactly where to start. Well, we just, in about 3 minutes, came up with 12 topics. And guys, if we were, let's say, on a church staff and we were ideating this, we just came up with, are you ready for this? Drum roll, 4 years of quarterly training topics. This takes us into 2026, right? And so that's how we go about doing this. This is what we teach at our Sunday School Essentials Conference, is how to plan this out. And I found that doing those 12 topics is very liberating, because now a person knows, oh, that's where we need to go. In 90 days, I know the first topic I'm going to do. They start looking for resources, and they create that training module, and they're off and running. So that's how we would go about it, and what we would recommend. But I want to shift gears, ask one more question, then we'll hear from our sponsor. But what day and what time are you guys doing training? What are your people coming to? Because in the days of yore, you know, when I was a younger man in ministry, we would do things on either Friday night or Saturday morning. Or sometimes we'd do part one, part two, and we'd ask them for Friday night and Saturday morning. And it feels to me like that, you know, that train has left the station. You know, that just does not happen. I get almost no request in the course of a year for a Saturday morning training. So if it's not then when? What are you guys seeing and having success with?
So, you know, I'll jump in here, Ken. So we here at Forest Hills, we kind of look at our weekly rhythms of the time frames that people already give us. You know, Nashville's a, you know, growing, busy metropolitan area. Our families are super busy with kids' activity all the things that they're involved with. So you know what? They give us Sundays, Sunday morning, sometimes Sunday afternoon or evening, and Wednesday nights. And so we try to, you know, we've tried to do things outside those boxes, and it just doesn't work that great. So because, you know, when they think about rhythms with their week, it's kind of like, oh, Wednesday night, it's church. It's time to go to church. So we've actually done our yearly, you know, annual Sunday school training on Wednesday nights. And we just kind of stay with it because it works within our culture. Different, you know, and if you're in a rural area, it may be a different rhythm. So I would encourage people, what's your church rhythms?
Yeah, that's good. Brian, what about you? What are you seeing there in South Carolina?
Absolutely. We're right there with Jeff. That's exactly what we did. We looked at the rhythm of the church, realized that people have set aside generally Sunday and Wednesdays. So we do our big annual training that's church-wide from preschool all the way up to our oldest senior adults on a Wednesday night. That kind of kicks off our new year, our new, you know, new ministry year, and in August, September time. And then our quarterly trainings for just the adults are after church services, after activities on Sunday morning. We do a lunch for the adult leaders, and then we do that that training immediately following those activities. And so that way they give us a Sunday morning, you know, maybe until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's once a quarter they do that. And that has worked really well for the rhythm of our church and the ebbs and flows. At my previous church, the rhythm was a monthly training, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning. I could get the most teachers there, 8 o'clock in the morning, right before Sunday school began, and they would show up, and we did some very valuable training at that point. Here, that, you know, this church and the unique characteristics of this church, that would have never worked.
Yeah, just wouldn't fly. I did a training last weekend on a Saturday morning for the first time in forever. It was an association training.
Wow.
So I was worried that on Saturday morning it'd just be a ghost town. But we showed up, and there were probably 50 teachers that came out to this training. Hmm. And I learned a really good lesson all over again. Jeff, it's like, well, you both said it. You know, look at the context. And in that association, Saturday morning still works. Hmm. Saturday morning still works. And so you have to know the rhythm of the church, the association, whoever it is, you know, that's providing the training. Well, let's hear from the sponsor, and I got one more quick question for you. And then we'll close out this episode. But our episode today is sponsored by Explore the Bible. And that is a 66-book, book-by-book study that takes place for ongoing adult, student, and kids groups. And it is a rich resource for group leaders, high-octane commentary, leader pack, leader guide, and many other resources. There are kids' versions, student versions, and if that sounds like something that would be appealing to your church's group ministries, check out Explore the Bible at goexplorethebible.com. There's free resources you can download, take a look at, and see if it might be something that you would want one of those age divisions to do, or maybe all age divisions to do. And have a plan for marching through, you know, all 66 books of the Bible. The adult plan is a 9-year plan. I love it because you can set it and forget it. It's very balanced over time. You're in different genres of Scripture every 3 years so that you're always covering Gospels, prophetic books, books of history, poetry, wisdom, the epistles, the Gospels. It's just such a well-rounded study. It's one of my favorites that we do. Well, here's the last question, guys. We'll wrap up and be done. What do you do about a group leader who just refuses to come to training? So, you know, we're developing a plan. We've got a plan. And they look at us and they go, yeah, no. And they just don't want to come. They refuse to come. They kind of know it all. They've been doing it for a while. They just don't feel like they need it. Guys, tell us, what do you do about that?
I mean, I can speak for myself. I've never experienced that in my setting. No,
oh,
I'm just kidding.
Good.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, one of the biggest things that I've done in the past is really begin to, at least initially, ask the question, why? Why is there little to no engagement. Maybe that can only be answered through building relationships, creating an environment of accountability and making sure. I know for one of ours here at Spring Valley, it was simple. It was a simple miscommunication. They were not getting the communication that was going out, and so.
So don't make assumptions right? Like, oh, he's just obstinate. He's the trouble guy. It just turned out to be he just didn't have what he needed in front of him.
Really didn't explore that discover that for several months into that training process. And so I think it for me it comes really down to building those relationships. The tough part is when he or she just still does not come. I think there is a point that you either have to make a decision you're going to plow around and keep moving forward, or you're going to have that difficult conversation that we need to raise the bar here and find maybe find another place for that person to serve that they're better suited to serve in.
I like that approach because rather than just saying, well, you can't teach anymore, you're just saying for this role, we're expecting you to come to training. And if that's not what you want to do, I get that. And so there's other places you can teach where you don't have to come to training like that. But for Sunday school, ongoing, whatever you want to call it, group ministry, that's required. And so we would like to find you another place. That's so much better than, you're done, and that's a hard, tough, unnecessary conversation. Jeff, you've got all kind of wisdom, I know, in this area. What would you do with that teacher that just is, not coming?
Yeah, well, Brian said it well on many fronts there. I just want to share one experience that I had.
Yeah.
So when I've gone into churches and I've served two churches the last 20 years, the first thing I do is start building relationships. Take people out to lunch. I go to their Sunday school class. I just spend time with them before I really start setting expectations and so forth. So at one church I served at, I asked one of the adult teachers who had a men's class out to lunch. And he was hesitant for a while and so forth. But he finally agreed to meet and go out to lunch. And so we were sitting at a Mexican restaurant, where I was serving the town we were at. And we were about halfway through the lunch. And he looked at me, and he said, I owe you an apology. And I said, what for? You hadn't done anything. He said, no. He said, every minister of education that's ever asked me for lunch has always wanted something.
Mm.
And he said, you don't want anything from me today, do you? I said, no, sir. I said, I'm here to tell you thank you for what you do, and I appreciate what you do and the years of service and so forth. And said, I'm just here to have lunch with you and just tell you thank you. And he just said, well, I just made assumptions that were wrong and I apologize. Wow. And from there on, that guy did everything that I needed a teacher to do. And he used to never do that. And that's just because I chose to care first before I asked anything from him. And that was a key to breaking down those barriers.
That's good.
Yes, and neither one of you knew what the other guy was going to say, but you both landed on the relationship side of things.
Yeah.
And that's so great. So I hope the audience hears that let's don't necessarily go blowing up stumps. Let's work a different path, right, and work relationally together and figure out how we can, achieve the common goals that we both want for our teaching ministries. Mm-hmm. That's so good. Well, guys, thank you. Thanks to Brian Fillingham and Jeff Bowden for being with us today on the podcast. Guys, you add a lot. We get to hear. I wish we could go another half hour or more. I mean, this is good stuff. But, at some point, all good things, have to end. And so we'll have you guys back in the future for some other episodes. But I know that there are folks that are listening that, have been kind of stuck. And some of the things you've said are going to help them move forward and develop that plan for the training at their churches. In our next episode, We're going to continue this season number three about training. And next time we're going to discuss, I think, one of the great topics this season, and that is, how do you overcome some obstacles that actually hinder training? Because we can't assume that just because we're going to offer it, it's going to be utopian and everyone's going to be excited and come. There are some barriers, and so we're going to have some new guests next time, and we'll talk about that on the next episode. So make sure you listen to the next episode. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, wherever you can sign up for a podcast. You can search and find us, the Disciple Making in Community podcast. Be sure to drop by GoExploreTheBible.com as well, and check out and download those free samples to see if that book-by-book study might be right for your kid, student, and or adult ministries. Well, thanks again, audience, for being a part of another episode of the Disciple Making in Community podcast. I'm your host, Ken Brady, and please remember, until next time, a church without discipleship, it's just a gathering.